Hello, hello, everyone. Morgan here, and you are listening to the Rogue Preparedness Podcast. Oh, we have so many amazing guests, and this guest has actually been on before, and it's so funny. I'll let her say it, but I don't know. I'll say it. She said that 2020, the COVID. See, I have pregnancy right now. She's saying that gave us like pregnancy brain, because she's been on before and I asked her on again because obviously she's amazing. I want to have her on again. But then I was thinking, I was like, wait a minute. I think she's been on again. But this is Kelly from the Diamond Arrow Group. I am so excited to have you on again. Hello.
Hi, how are you? And it is fantastic to be back on. Thank you for asking me. And yes, you and I have already discussed, we can talk for hours. So I think doing a second show is just fine.
Yeah, exactly. There's just so much to talk about with this subject. And I think that, you know, you and I have talked before about how it just seems like a very underrated thing and people just don't really take it seriously, or you know, they have blinders on about it, or I'm not really sure. Like, what are you kind of seeing about? Okay. So first I'm diving right in.
I was like, and I was all ready to answer. So we're perfect. Fine.
Okay. So I will ask that, but for those that don't actually know who you are, let's introduce you first. Who are you, Kelly?
Sure. Well, Kelly with the Diamond Arrow Group. I teach situational awareness to help prevent trauma and save lives. And to your point, this is such an interesting topic for me as I continue to learn about it. Not only gaining the knowledge, but really almost market testing it, I guess you could call it, or putting it out there and seeing the response. Because what my answer to your earlier question was, I really think that there was such a disparity between the people who had the information, knew the information, were the experts. They were in the self-defense industry, in executive protection, in those kind of risk mitigation roles. And then to me, there was the average everyday citizen that is trying to go about their life safely and without harm to themselves or their family. Mm-hmm. And the two were siloed. There was not a lot of conversation going back and forth. Mm-hmm. So when I started putting information out from what I was learning as I was seeking knowledge on situational awareness, you know, what is that? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What am I looking for? How do I know if I'm looking for the right things? Is that conduit when I went to, we'll call them that expert silo, they were like, yeah, it's situational awareness. It's so important. It's a big part of what we do in firearms training. It's a big part of what we do in self-defense training. It's this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh, okay, got it. Okay, how are you teaching this to the everyday person? And then it was crickets. Other than, let's say, the self-defense industry, because they work more with citizens, your average citizen, your everyday citizen. Mm-hmm. But again, those people are still in a certain mindset. They are still thinking about physical self-defense. How am I going to defend myself physically in a fight? Right. Typically, we don't see that mentality or that mindset in the female population. Yes, there are some that do have that mindset. That's awesome. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It was a reality of society.
Right.
And so we had the silo over here of, let's just say me. We had my silo over here where we didn't even know it was a thing. So we didn't know what we didn't know. And we didn't know how to ask the right questions or understand it. And the expert silo then made that assumption we did know. So that's kind of what I joke about in the essence of, well, you just got to be more aware of your surroundings. And then because it was an assumptive definition, I didn't want to feel stupid by saying, yeah, but what do you mean?
Right.
What do you mean? And then if I asked more questions, it went back to that expert saying, and I don't know how to explain it to you in a way that makes sense to you because I just do it naturally or subconsciously. Oh. Because I've done it so long. So there's this big gap in my from my perspective of that information sharing, best practices, and in a way that was relatable, because there are individuals out there talking situational awareness now as part of active threat training, right, as part of the self-defense training. And I did this was kind of a funny bit of information. And I am, to preface this to your listeners, I am not a web designer. I am not a techie. When I need to update my website, simple little things will take me hours, but it has to get done. And I was determined to try and figure out SEO. You know, I need to figure this out. I need to get more eyeballs. What am I doing wrong? Because I was still, you know, quote unquote, using word art. Let's just call it that. It was very rudimentary. And when I started digging into SEO and looking up situational awareness as a keyword, Google said, and again, I'm not probably using the right terms, but the increase of situational awareness from year to year was 900%. Whoa. So I was like, okay, there is more attention to situational awareness. Now people are using that terminology more and more. But again, is it an acceptable definition of what situational awareness is, or are people actually teaching situational awareness? It's trendy to say situational awareness, but what are you actually teaching? And as the everyday person, if you tell me situational awareness, I don't know there's different stages. I don't know there's different situational awareness. We can be talking about left of bang from a military standpoint or a law enforcement standpoint, but that's a very different type of awareness and reaction than the average person is going to do. Like I say, in the military or the law enforcement, part of your job is to run towards the gunfire.
Right, right.
Okay, I'm running the other way. That's what I want, because I have small children, because I have other concerns that need to take priority in that moment. And that's going to be my focus. So we need to have a more robust conversation about situational awareness. Through my work, I feel like it's getting out there more and people are getting more curious. They're picking up little pieces going, oh, I never thought of it that way. I didn't realize that. Yes, this happened to me years ago and I never put two and two together, but now it all makes sense, because we're having more of a conversation around intuition and how those messages are received in your consciousness and how all your senses observe your surroundings.
So
it's stuff I geek out about, but
yeah, no, I actually wanted to dive in on intuition, because what was really interesting is that I had a discussion. I don't know who it was with now, but anyway, I just remember it so clearly that I was talking to somebody about intuition and we were like, people are not tuned into their intuition anymore. What happened?
That's a good question. That's probably a $1 million question. Right off the top of my head, I think of electronics. Mm-hmm. We're so reliant, dependent on our electronics. We're so used to it. It's become such a norm. Mm-hmm. I shared, in a post, somebody had made the comment to me that their small, I think it was 6 or 7 year old daughter, had gotten her electronic taken away because she was doing things she wasn't supposed to, and figured out how to communicate via their smart fridge.
Oh!
And I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, A, for one, I don't have a smart fridge, obviously.
No.
But B, I was like, wow, I thought that was, I know the Internet of Things, everything is connected nowadays, but I didn't realize that you could download some of those more social apps. Again, I don't have a smart fridge. I don't know. But again, it makes sense. If you're saying to your fridge, hey, add this to my grocery list, well, then it's probably talking to your local grocer's app and adding that to your cart or whatever. So it makes sense to me at a very basic elementary level. But it's one of those things there. Our intuition doesn't get an opportunity to develop. And the instant gratification.
Yeah.
We don't want to wait. We're not sitting and just being in the moment.
Right.
Comparing yoga, Zen, meditation. I think more people are talking about those things and trying to do those things more in their daily life, but we're still not associating it with personal safety and intuition. And if we're not listening and getting curious with ourselves about our intuition, then we don't know how to improve it, mm-hmm. or we don't know when it's communicating with us. And it's really easy to deny intuition or brush it off because we don't even know what we're brushing off.
Yeah. And I think you make just so many good points. It's the technology, and it's, I think it could also be, you know, like the peer pressure, or it could also be, you know, like, I don't want to cause a ruckus, or like, I don't want to be a burden to other people. Like, oh, I feel this situation is off, but my friends are saying it's okay, so I should just do it, or whatever the case may be, you know what I mean? And so, I think our whole society has maybe shifted into more of a, instead of listening to you and yourself and your intuition, you need to be listening to what everybody else is doing. And there may be a time for that. You know, there may be a time to look at the crowd and say, what is this crowd doing? And but then you make the decision, what am I supposed to be doing? What will I, you know, will I be running away? Will I be running towards it? Whatever, you know, should I be going with the crowd? Should I be going against it? All these other things. And oh gosh, you brought up so many things, but I think that you're pretty spot on there with the technology specifically. And, you know, when you brought up meditation, I knew about situational awareness for a long time, and I thought I was very situationally aware, all these kinds of things. But when I got into meditation, I feel like it just opened up a whole nother world of my situational awareness. And I was just like so aware of everything and like wanting to truly pay attention to what's going on.
That's fascinating. Tell me more about that. Why do you connect the meditation to your situational awareness?
The meditation basically forces you to be just more aware of yourself. It's not even just trying to be more aware of your surroundings, but it's being more aware of you and how you are feeling, how you react to situations, and how you can perceive also what's going on as well. So it gives you that like inner, I don't know how to say it, the inner satisfaction of just being in tune with yourself so that you can be in tune with your surroundings. And I don't know if you would agree with this, but I think that that's kind of where it starts. Like I think I could be aware. I think everybody could look around their surroundings and look and see and observe. Everybody's observant. Everyone could be aware. But I think that meditation just added on that whole other level of not just, okay, I can see what's happening. I'm aware of what's happening. Now, how am I reacting to it? How can I act upon whatever I am seeing and whatever I'm aware of? Right. So like it brought up a whole nother level, like you said, to it.
No. And to continue on with your thought, if meditation is getting curious about yourself and listening to your inner voice, you could say that inner voice is your intuition, mm-hmm. intuition about your life, intuition about your dreams, intuition about the things you want, your current state of emotion. And that ties in to the Orient filter, which is part of the OODA loop, which is based on or built from our perspectives, our experiences, our cultures, mm-hmm. our traditions, how we were raised, the influential people in our life. Mm-hmm. So meditation is really getting more in tune with that inner voice and your perspective of the world, which informs you, or that filter decides when an observation needs more attention, when something is off. I use the example many times of the difference of someone who grew up in a country setting, more of a rural setting, versus an urban or city setting. Mm-hmm. The sights and sounds of growing up in the country become part of your Orient filter. Well, these are normal sounds. It's normal to hear coyotes howling at night, or gunfire during hunting season, or even not during hunting season, someone just out shooting clay. But in the urban environment, that is off. That is something you're not used to hearing, hopefully. You're not living where you're hearing gunfire too much. Mm. And so that would cause an alarm. Therefore, my inner voice, if I heard gunfire in the country, does not. It's kind of like, hey, someone's shooting. But it doesn't cause concern for me. Right. Whereas you put me in an urban environment and let's say I'm staying at someone's house or, you know, we've rented an R&B, we're in a city environment and it's summer. So maybe the windows are open or the screens, everyone who's like home security right now is screaming at me for leaving windows open with screams. But some of those sounds at night, you're going to hear more sirens more than likely. Right. First responder sirens. You may hear more dialogue, people having conversations because you're in a densely populated area. So it's absolutely normal for people to be walking by the window talking. While in the country, if you hear voices outside your window, that's not okay. That's right. Going to cause an alarm. Right. If you are hearing first responders with their lights and sirens and everything going, okay, well, that's something's wrong at my house. Maybe the neighbor, you know, I better get up and pay attention what's going on because right. that's not usual. So our orient filter, that inner dialogue, the voice is going to have a different response than say the person next to me. And that impacts our reaction time to things that are off, our response, our the action that we take. Then I might be slower to reacting to something because I'll be like, well, that's normal. Mm-hmm. Why are you getting so upset? Why are you getting so worked up? Why are you getting nervous? Right. I think we can all think of friends or family members, people we know who have a much different response than we do to a stimulus, whether that's something in our environment or whether that's a TV show. You know, when people go, oh my goodness, did you watch that episode last night? I thought it was so crazy or so off, or this character was way out of line. And you might say, really? I didn't think they were all that out of line because of X, Y, Z.
Right.
So I think to your point, back to the meditation, it's so important. And really one of the building blocks of situational awareness is you have to understand your internal voice, your intuition. Mm-hmm. You have to understand and get curious about what makes your intuition alarm bells go off. Why are they sounding? Is it an experience I've had in the past where there's a similar warning pattern? Mm-hmm. Or is it someone in my past told me that this is bad? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I always use the example of my dad in Volkswagens. When he was 18, riding his motorcycle, was run off the road or almost run off the road by a Volkswagen. And that's a very traumatic experience. So it's stuck in his head and he was 18. So firmly planted in his head for the rest of his life. I grew up and my siblings grew up hearing over and over again from my dad, Volkswagens are awful. They're the worst cars ever. If you ever drive one, if you ever bring one home and park it in my driveway, I'm setting it on fire, blah, blah, blah. You know, we can joke about that because it's a car and we know dad's not actually going to do that. Right. But when you start breaking it down from a situational or orient filter's perspective, wow, he was a very influential piece of my life. It was my dad. Mm-hmm. From the time I was a little girl, that was the message I was getting. Volkswagens are horrible vehicles. And it was stuck in my head. I still haven't ever test drove a Volkswagen. And I love cars. I love all kinds of cars. I would never consider buying a Volkswagen. Now, saying this now, I'm removing the word never from that statement. But it's funny how impactful that was. And if we take out Volkswagen and swap that with any numbers of nouns, mm-hmm. then you can see, okay, if someone in your life had a very negative experience in the past, that's going to be sticky. It's going to be traumatic for them. And they may subconsciously or consciously impact how you view that same item. And that could impact you later in life without you even realizing. You'll just always have an affinity or what's the opposite of affinity? It's too late in the night, but, or like just repelled by something like, oh, I just do not like Volkswagens. And you're like, really? What? Why? And until you start meditating and digging into it,
it you might not realize. Volkswagen. It was the person. We all know this, right? You know what I mean?
And exactly. And maybe they didn't even see him. It might not have been intentional.
Right, exactly. But it was a very traumatic experience. And I think, you know, this can even come from not even a personal experience. It can come from just somebody telling you, you know, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying, replace Volkswagen with other noun. Well, you know, I think we all have an experience like that. My mom grew up telling me that, you know, guns were bad. Mm-hmm. And very bad. I mean, like she, you know, like just drilled it into us, you know, that it was bad, 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 but the guns are bad. And I believed it. And then I had a boyfriend that took me out to shoot and I got a whole different perspective after that, you know, and it was like, and then I just started to think and I'm like, you know, she never had a traumatic experience with guns. She just, that was her perspective and that was her feeling towards it. And because my mother's a huge influential person in my life, you know, of course I'm going to believe her. Of course she's going to influence me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there's so many reasons why somebody will believe something. And it depends on how long they have been told this thing and how open they are to then changing their own mind. And I think that's the biggest, hardest part, because I like to call it the oatmeal brain. It's actually a technical term and I always forget. It's not normalcy bias, but it's a
confirmation bias.
I feel like maybe, but I feel like it was something else, but it was like, it was the, like you're saying, it's the I grew up thinking this way. When somebody challenges the way that I think, then they're wrong, period. And and it's not, you know, and it's your, basically your brain just trying to protect you and that information that you know is right, even whether it is or isn't, but you know it's right. You grew up with it. That's the right way. You know, that's the only way. So it's really, really hard for people to get past that defense mechanism. But once you get past it, once you can actually recognize that it's actually happening, like if somebody challenges your way of thought, and then you will have, most people will have an immediate, you know, defensive, no, that's not right. But if you can start feeling yourself, you know, clenching your teeth and
kissing,
right? That's the hardest part. Because once you can recognize it, you can get past it and you can realize, you know what, maybe I do need to look more into this to see what they're saying. They could still be wrong, but at least you have, you know, the forethought and the now tools to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to look into it,
right?
You know, and see what you're saying, but you know, you could still be wrong, but whatever, right?
Well, and I think with the meditation piece, that can tie back into recognizing the adrenalization, or I am getting defensive. I can feel in my chest, it's tightening, because this is a sign of escalation in me of anger, defensiveness on this long held belief. Mm-hmm. Being open to challenging and being curious about your own thoughts and opinions is key. Really, with the pandemic, and just so much of what we've been through over the last two, almost 3 years now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
People have lost that ability, in my opinion, to stay open, to say, you, there is a chance I may be wrong. I don't think so, but there is a chance. And I am going to make the effort to spend some time with myself and check in on that.
Yeah.
Instead now it's, nope, I've right. I've always been right. I'm not going to hear anyone else's opinions on the matter or input or consider other research. And now, honestly, I feel like we've gone so far that I don't even know what sources to trust for information anymore, which is more scary for me because now I don't have a way to check myself. You know, it's like, can we bring back the Encyclopedia Britannica?
I know, and
that still is going to be biased by the author, but
yeah, and it is scary. I've literally thought that exact thing just recently because I'm just like, you know, I try to do my due diligence and like research, and I'm like, you know, I do my best, but like at the end, I'm like, you know, I have to trust my instinct in the end, and sometimes I've been sucked in, you know, to the rumor or something like that. And then like, I'm like, you know what? I got to stop. And I do my research and I find out it was false, or, you know, I can't find anything else confirming it or whatever. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a step back from this. I can't confirm it. And, you know, I have to like, I've had to like come back and be like, I'm so sorry. I can't confirm this. I'm sorry. I did not mean to say this. I have to, you know, retract what I said or whatever. And it's hard to do that.
Right.
It's incredibly difficult because it hurts your pride a little bit because you know, you just got sucked into something that, you know, I mean, you're human. It's going to happen. But
what is the response from your followers when you have those moments where you've had to retract a story or, I mean,
yeah, they're really responsive to it. You know, they're just like, yeah, you know, I appreciate all the comments that I get are thank you for, you know, looking into this more and letting us know, you know, further thoughts and things like that. And then there's still the comments of the people that were like, no, you were right the first time, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I mean, of course there's going to be those people. So, you know, I can't convince anybody of anything. I can only share what I find and that's it.
Right.
You know,
I think that's so key though with your followers and building that transparency, because there's nothing worse than following someone or seeking information from someone and they never think they're wrong, because we're human and we all make mistakes. So if you tell me that you've never made a mistake, I'm going to start questioning your authenticity and your trustworthiness.
Yeah, I've definitely had to take a step back from a few people that I followed when I realized that they were like that. And you know, it's irresponsible as such an influential person. And like, these are very influential people. And it's really unfortunate to see that they're just so stubborn about it, even when their own commenters are calling them out on it. You know, their subscribers and their following mm-hmm. stuff are calling them out on it, and they're just sticking to it. And it's, you know, I feel like I used to be that way a little bit, and that was definitely, you know, sometimes they're wrong, sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes there is no wrong or right, but I mean, you know, we have to at least just kind of accept, maybe agree to disagree or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I can't be that person that has a following, gives information, and then find out I give the false information, but just let it go because I don't want to bruise my ego. But it's not. It's it's actually, you know, it like you said, it's being transparent. It's trying to be as honest as possible with people. And I think we need more of that.
Yeah. But, and to your point, we can't change others necessarily. Yeah. So all we can control is ourselves. Going back to meditation, I think that's a great first step for anyone, is to get in touch with themselves and figure out where their feelings, where their emotions are coming from in a healthy way.
Yeah. I know that once I really started getting connected with myself, I mean, it's helped in every aspect of my life, not just situational awareness and awareness of myself, but I mean, just in literally every aspect of my life, how I handle the stress of my kids or, you know, marriage or a job or whatever, it literally helps in every aspect of your life and just getting more connected with yourself. But I want to switch gears just a little bit, just because I had mentioned wanting to talk about a case that you had come across lately, and you had talked about one, and I'm really interested in hearing a little bit about it.
Yeah. So I was the situation that came to mind when you brought that up was the Germantown, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Memphis. Mm-hmm. Incident occurred on December 30th, which was a Friday night, 8 o'clock at night. I confirmed it, the validity of it, because a follower had sent me a video. And then I went to that police department's Facebook page. Yep, it's there. It's confirmed. It was an actual event. They are still searching for the suspects. Wow. And the follower had sent it to me over the weekend of New Year's Eve. And to be honest, I have my moments where I say there is a boundary between how much time I'm going to spend. Yes, crime happens 24/7 and situations happen 24/7. And there are still, I have to draw some boundaries on being on social media. So I didn't post it right away. And then I started seeing the video showing up on a lot of the people I follow from the self-defense perspective, from the firearm perspective. And so I thought, you know, okay, I better get on here and share this now on Monday, because I think the situational awareness piece is getting missed big time. And the scenario is there is a female coming out. Well, she just comes on to the security camera footage by her vehicle. And she comes around to the passenger side, opens her front passenger door, looks like she throws a package in the front seat, and then continues around the back end of her vehicle to come around and get in her driver's door. And there's a small sedan parked next to her SUV. And as she's walking between her car, she looks into the sedan, and then she goes to open her driver's door. At the same time, an individual starts to get out of the passenger front door. So think about that. You're getting into your vehicle anytime in a normal social setting. If you're getting into your vehicle and the person parked next to you is waiting to get out, they wait for you to get out.
Right.
Like you do that whole, oh, should I go? Do you want to go? You know, there's that awkward like politeness.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he opens his door while she's starting to get into her vehicle, she reacts to it and looks at it right away. Well, it was an attempted, the police are calling it an attempted kidnapping. An individual gets out of the back seat of the sedan and goes into her rear driver's side passenger door. So I don't know if that was also, they were looking to rob her. Huh. Or what was going on. But she's physically fighting the suspect that opened his door next to her. And at one point, it looks like he's got her in a chokehold and she's fighting against him. And a male comes onto the screen and it looks like he has a firearm. And I've seen a post or two now about him having a firearm. So I feel pretty confident saying that that gentleman did. And the suspects get back in their vehicle. She runs away. The female runs off screen. And then the car backs up really awkwardly. Like they had it, put it in park first and then pulled back, backed out. So I'm like, wow, these are not career criminals. This was really horrible planning on their part. Thank goodness. And there was no weapons brandished by the suspects, excuse me. So as they're pulling away, the gentleman who came out of wherever with the firearm is standing there so you can see him. And so I did the thing where you watch it really slow and you're holding your finger on the video so you can watch it frame by frame, right. Which again, can we just all armchair quarterback relax a little bit? Is this woman, this happened in seconds, and I was able to stop the frame and look at it just like everybody else and replay and replay and replay. So let's just give everybody a little bit of grace on for her. But that's again where it was like she should never have went to her car. That car was parked close to hers and there wasn't a lot of other cars in the parking lot, and she should have done this and we should have the situation to death. And I just called out a couple things like, hey, I'm going to guess, again, this is my perception, so I'm not saying it's accurate. I haven't talked to her. When she put what appears to be the shopping bag in the front passenger seat, that made me guess that as she was walking up to her vehicle, she did notice the suspect's car parked so close on her driver's side that, hey, I'm going to put my bags in the passenger side so I don't have as much that I'm trying to juggle getting into a car with. Mm-hmm. I don't think she necessarily made that decision from a safety perspective, but it's still, hey, she was aware. She was looking at her car. Let's call that a spade a spade. So in a transition area, going from point A to point B is very important to be alert and aware of your surroundings. Then she looked into the suspect's car when she came around the back end of her car. Okay, again, looking into parked cars next to yours is a great daily habit to get into. Mm-hmm. When she opened her door and he opened his door pretty much at the same time, she looked at him right away. She didn't shy away. She didn't cower. She got on the offense of, I'm paying attention. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then she fought him. I guessed that she must have made a sound or screamed or something that the gentleman with the firearm came running out. And then she proceeded to get to safety. She didn't freeze. She didn't stand there. She didn't wait to see what was going to happen. She got to safety. So these are all really good things. And then I made a comment, hey, I'm grateful the bystander came out because as we've seen over and over again, a lot of people pull out their phones and start recording. Or they look the other way because they don't want to get involved. Right. No judgment. It's just a reality. Yeah. And I said, but he stood there. And if you're going to pull a firearm on individuals attempting to commit a crime, I would want to refresh your memory about the difference between cover and concealment. Like, don't stay on the X. Get to where you're safe. Because you don't know if those individuals are armed and could start shooting back at you. Yeah. It's a crazy world. You just don't know. Better to be safe than sorry. And I posted it. What was so interesting to me is I posted it on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Typically don't post things like that on LinkedIn because LinkedIn is more of the businessy, but now this is my business. So I wanted to get it out. And I had a few people, a few comments on the different platforms saying, this is why you should carry a gun. Mm. This is why you need physical self-defense. And to me, honestly, those are their opinions. I get it. I don't want to spend the time going back and forth because to me, it's like, yeah, if you want to carry a gun, do it. Right. I have some questions for you in this scenario, but since I wasn't there, I haven't spoken to her. I really am not going to touch it. It's kind of like, I only have so much time and space. Right. But on LinkedIn, what was really fascinating to me is so many people said, if she wasn't easy, why did she keep going to her car? Why didn't she go back to the store or go back inside the building? And that's where I think the situational awareness piece needs to say, pause, let's have the conversation about this. Yeah. Is, okay, it's Friday night. It's 8 o'clock. It's dark, but the parking lot's fairly well lit. The individual who sent it, the video to me, is from Germantown or lives in that area. So he said she was coming out of a Lululemon, which is a really fancy, way too expensive for me, yoga pants store. Yeah. And that's probably, I'm probably offending people, which cracks me up. Like, it's super nice stuff, but I'm really not going to spend that much money to sweat and things. Right. And her SUV, from what I could tell, I think was a very nice luxury SUV. So to me, my guess is that she came out of that store not thinking it was going to happen to her, not thinking it was going to happen there. Like, it's not like she's out at midnight after bar close. And again, you should be able to go where you want, but we're just playing the odds here. And so for her, oh, that car's parked next to me. Maybe not a big deal. Throws her stuff in, comes around, and then looks in the car though. Okay, well, who is in this car? Yeah. There's three people sitting there. Okay. That's a little odd. But at this point, we're talking about milliseconds between the time she looked in the car to when she grabbed the handle of her door to open to get into the driver's seat. I would challenge anyone who would say, I would stop right there, turn around and go back. Really? Mm-mm. Really? No, you're going to keep getting into your car because I would think your mind is like, you know what? Just get in your car, lock the doors and get home.
Right. That's exactly it.
And it happens that fast. So from my perspective as an instructor, it does me no good to sit there and should she have done this? She should have done that. These are the things that she did right. She was attentive. She noticed these things. She got away.
Yeah.
Because I want other people then to say, oh, okay, it's as simple as looking into vehicles. And now I've seen this video. Sal, what happened is that I might look into somebody's vehicle much earlier. Like I might do it when I'm coming out of the store. And if there's people in the car, I might go back into the store right away. So that's an improvement.
You know, I've come across, you know, people in their cars right next to me in like Walmart or whatever, you know, out in the parking lots. And I look directly into them. And the majority of the time they're just on their phone or listening to music, you know, waiting for somebody. Like somebody sitting in their car is not necessarily a red flag to me. But it's important that, like you said, we're looking, we're aware. I see that person in their vehicle. I notice that they are in there. That is an important aspect. Now, sure, you know, maybe that car was parked really close to her. You know, seems kind of weird, like you're saying, but like, I'm not 100% sure that there was a red flag there right off the bat. You know, she's getting in her car to go. Like you said, that would have been my instinct. Get in the car, lock the doors, go. You know, most people's instincts are not to just run back into the store and like wait and see, because, you know, why? Like,
well, and that was my question too, is okay. So if your Orient filter alarm bells are sounding, your intuition alarm bells are going off, telling you don't go to your car, go back in the store. Okay. How would you articulate why your intuition alarm bells were going off?
Right.
That's the next step. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to, if you can articulate, then that makes sense. If you go up to a manager or security saying, hey, can you walk me out to my vehicle?
Yeah.
They'll probably say, sure, no problem, not ask questions. But not everyone is a good, compassionate, understanding, kind human. Right. There are jerks. And they're going to say, why do you need me to walk you out to the car?
Right.
And then what are you going to say? Because if you can articulate, there's a car parked really close to my driver's side door. Three individuals are sitting in there. I'm not sure what they're doing. I'm uncomfortable with that situation.
Yeah.
Can you walk me out to my car? Or another gentleman that I know said, you could crawl in from your passenger side if you really want.
Yeah.
You could. I don't know if I would, to be honest, because I'd feel silly. I would rather go back into the car or back into the store and wait.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how long she had been there. Maybe it's an outdoor mall area with lots of stores and she'd been shopping all day. Therefore, the parking lot was full when she parked. When you come out and there's still a car next to you, but other spaces are open, you're not going to think that's suspicious because it's 8 o'clock on a Friday night and stores are closing. Of course, the parking lot is emptying out.
I mean, and sometimes like my husband just parks like right next to people and I'm like, there's a whole parking lot, you know, empty. Why don't you just park over there? Like people just do weird things. You know what I mean? Like they do. Like sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. So like anyway, but I love what you're saying, you know, that she was aware. She did understand what was happening. She wasn't on her phone. She was
right.
Actively paying attention. And just because you are situationally aware, sometimes a situation does not present itself as a red flag situation until it is.
Right. Right.
But that is where situational awareness can come in, and then your other tools can follow therein after. Fine. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, screaming, you know, whatever else, you know, kicking
elbow to the face, yeah. Biting, whatever needs to be done.
Right.
And that's what I said at the end of the post. Staying alert, aware of your surroundings gives you more opportunity to take action to keep yourself safe. And you can't always avoid a physical fight. But being alert and being aware, you're going to be able to go on the offense a lot faster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine being caught off guard when you had your phone in your head in your phone. No way. Like it takes you just a few seconds to come back to reality to figure out what's going on. But at that point, it's too late. Because it does take just seconds.
And if your hands are full with bags, with your purse, with your keys, with whatever, with your phone, to your point, a lot of times when people have that sudden adrenaline spike from being confronted or being presented with a situation where, oh, this is not good, mm-hmm. we clutch.
Yeah.
We hold on to things tight.
Yes.
And so then now your hands are full and you're holding on to everything, which really cuts down on your ability to fight back, to do something physical.
Although
it depends.
I always tell people use those things in your hand to right. defend yourself. Like I have a, you know, Hydro Flask water bottle and I always think, you know, a swing to the head with this thing, you know, like mm-hmm. it's gonna hurt, right?
Yes. So that's what I was thinking as I was saying that. It depends. You can clutch and then use it
right.
as a tool. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a quote unquote self-defense tool. It could be anything right. in your hands that would cause harm, like your water bottle. That's an excellent, excellent blunt force tool. Mm-hmm.
I think about it every time I hunt because I have to hold it in my hand, you know, and I'm like, well,
yep,
I'll use it. That's for sure. You know, but it's being aware too. Most people don't think about their groceries, you know, or their phone or things like that, mainly because it's a monetary thing they just spent money on, and it's hard to quote unquote use it or waste it, you know what I mean? But it's like mm-hmm. this is your life we're talking about here. Like, use the phone, it can be replaced, you know, hit them, throw it, whatever. It's going to distract them so you can get away, do whatever, right? Scratch them with your fake nails, it's gonna come off, great, get new nails, I don't care. You know, like, make it happen so that you get out of it.
And to your point, if we're not talking about it, then it's not mentally in people's heads. Somebody, a woman I know made a comment saying she missed the opportunity to push his door shut.
Mm.
Like she could have leaned back against her vehicle and kicked his door shut or slammed her door into his. And the woman making the comment said, and things happen so fast that we don't have a lot of time to think about those sort of things. I'm like, you're right. And now it is in your head. Now, if that would happen, you might be that much faster at putting that into play or having that reaction of kicking the door shut. Now, I pity the fool who does it by accident because you're just going to slam them in the door, but you can apologize later if your personal safety is at risk. There's a lot of other factors. If it's 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and grandma and grandpa are sitting in the car next to you and grandma doesn't notice and starts getting out at the same time as you, yes, please don't kick her door shut. Okay. It depends. Context matters.
Listen. I don't trust Granny. Okay.
Granny grew up in the day where you had to fight tooth and nail for everything. So she's a badass.
That's true. Well, I want to talk about your book real quick. We're coming up to the hour mark here, and I don't want to miss talking about it because recently, was it this year?
It hasn't even been a year yet. Isn't that crazy, Morgan? A year went by so fast.
Wow. Well, I know that I was hounding you for like a long time. Where's the book? And finally released it, and it did not disappoint. It is called Sharp Women, and it's been out for a while now. If you don't have it, why don't you have it? You should go get it. It's called Sharp Women. Go get it. It's right now on Amazon. And so talk a little bit about it. I know you had like this whole process about it, and I love that you started out with a story, and it was, you know, and you had it was just really interesting the way that you started out and how you. You know, obviously everything, but yeah, I talk about it. Sorry, well, I can talk about it. You.
Yes. No, thank you. Thank you for that. Your kind words about the book. I appreciate that. It was a labor of love for sure. And I had worked with a publisher, Niche Pressworks, who I cannot recommend enough, that Nicole and her whole team can. I just all of them. I don't want to say any more names because if I forget someone, I'll feel awful. But they were fantastic. And one thing that was really interesting going through this process is going back to what I said earlier in the podcast, situational awareness is still a new thing. Mm. So the first chapter, that to me was a God thing, was a universe thing, whatever, the higher power you believe in, because I was looking, how do I start this book off? I need the suck you in. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people pick up a book, read the first chapter, and if it doesn't grab them, they set it back down. Yeah. So, but I'm so against fear mongering. I'm so against scare tactics and sensationalism of violence. And I was really struggling with how to open the book, but you know, there was tens of thousands of other words to write. So I just started writing saying, I will figure this out at some point. And I actually had a local police chief who knows my work, knows what I do, say, hey, there's someone I want to connect you with. And that was Daria from my book, and learned her story, heard her story, got permission to share her story as the first chapter of the book, because it was so impactful to me. This was a situation that lines up with so much of what I teach, is it's not always the physical blows. It's not always visible signs of threatening behaviors. It's little micro threats of controlling behaviors, of coercive control, well, that can easily be, well, was that really a controlling thing, or are they trying to be nice? Hmm. Was that really such a bad thing? Because really, they were just trying to take care of you, or, oh, they made a mistake. And that so often happens in situational awareness, because 75 to 85% of attacks against women come from someone we know.
Right.
Whatever level of that knowing or relationship is, we are going to naturally give more grace to people that we have a history with, people that we have a relationship with. Mm-hmm. It's the Chinese water torture drip, you know, water drip torture, is you don't really notice the dripping until the bucket's full. And then you're like, oh, that is a pretty bad drip. Hmm. But by then, now you've got history. In this case, Daria and her ex were married, and you have kids, and well, now what do I do? Right. Now looking back, I wish I would have called it off right then. But now we're, you know, 10 years into a marriage. Now what? And you're always looking for the silver lining. Well, maybe it'll get better after this. Maybe it'll get better after this. And that's what I hear over and over again from a lot of survivors, a lot of people who have experienced a traumatic event. So that to me, perfect timing. It was meant to be. She's a phenomenal human being who's doing great now,
yeah,
but still working through a lot of the after effects. So another piece that's interesting to me is when that incident occurred, how long, how many years later now, it's still something she deals with. Mm. And that to me is that traumatic experience. That to me is trying to prevent people experiencing trauma.
Right.
Yes, she's out of that relationship. Yes, she's safe, but she's now dealing with, how do I stay safe? Mm. How do I keep myself safe? And I see it over and over again when it comes to restraining orders. I swear that I am seeing more and more headlines of domestic abuse, murders, and suicide instances. Mm-hmm. I just read, and this is new, so by the time listeners hear this episode, maybe more information will be out. Did you see the article with the Tesla that went off the cliff in California with the family inside?
Oh my gosh, no.
And there was some like Devil's Cliff or something. I mean, just a really ominous name to this. When I first saw it a couple of days ago, I was like, oh, how horrible. You're going along, driving along this road of the cliffs, probably looking at the sunset or looking at the sunrise, depending. And I shouldn't say sunrise, sunset if you're on the California coast. And you miss the turn or you hit a slick spot. How horrible. But the family survived. They have serious injuries. It's a miracle, blah, blah, blah. They're saying this. Just today, I saw the headline that the driver of the vehicle, a male, is now being charged with murder, attempted murder. And they didn't say much more. They haven't released more, but they're insinuating. What is insinuating is they're they suspect that this was a murder-suicide, that the driver purposely drove off the cliff with two young children and a female in the car with him. And, you know, they don't say, oh, what are the relations? We, you know, we're not releasing the relations of the female and the children to the male. But all these things, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh,
and I'm seeing more and more headlines where people are like, oh, this lawyer was just killed, and she used to prosecute domestic violence cases, and she was killed by her ex, and this judge was killed, and this doctor, or so I don't know if the media is paying more attention to it, if I'm obviously more aware of it because of my work and what I do, that these are showing up in my feed. Like the algorithm is telling me all of these things, unfortunately. But we need to, if things are getting worse, which I don't have statistics or data just to talk about that educationally wise, but we need to keep having these conversations more than ever, younger and younger with, hey, that behavior is not okay. Right. You can say it and let that person know that that behavior is not okay with them and feel confident saying that and hold those boundaries, because it's better to do that now than 15 years later. When the circumstances are much different, when there's more pressures, when there's more, well, I don't know, there's a lot more ties. And we need to educate people, because I do believe that, especially in young adults, their behaviors are learned from social media, from their friends, from the shows they watch, from the YouTube channels they observe. So if they're not having a discussion on, well, that's not appropriate behavior, or they're displaying a behavior to a friend, and that friend is saying, I don't like that when you do that. They're not getting that feedback. And parents, if we're not knowing what our kids are watching or consuming, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect at this either. I do my best, but it is tough because, gosh darn it, they can get information just about everywhere. And you can't, I don't want to be a helicopter parent. I grew up a latchkey kid, and I think it was phenomenal. The difference is we didn't have the electronics that my kids have access to now. But that's where with my book, I really want people to take a breath, take a beat, and start. What is the first thing I can do? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. We are not going to solve all the world's problems in one book. But what we can do is start giving people, anyone, no matter what their age, no matter what their background, no matter where they live, basic tools on how to build awareness and have those conversations, make the verbiage common. So we're all talking about the same thing. So when someone says, oh, they're just really into you, that's why they keep showing up at your work and places where you're hanging out unexpected and sending you all those notes. No, that's stalking, actually. That's not romantic. Thank you. But if we're not having these conversations out loud, then we're not learning from each other.
Right.
So that's the goal with my book, is trying to have that conversation and have people go, wow, yeah, I didn't think about that. And that's a good point. Or I would contest that. Because that's another thing too, is I want people to challenge. If they don't agree with me, they say, actually, you're missing this aspect of it. Or I've experienced this from my experiences. Please, I want to hear that. Because otherwise, I'm not going to keep learning.
Right. I mean, we all have different perspectives and experiences and all these things. But I think that, you know, like with so many things in the world, you know, we need those tools. And like you're saying, if people don't have the tools, they don't know how to do it. They don't know where to start. And so with a book like yours, giving people the tools to, you know, start the process, you know, it's not, like you said, it's not an overnight thing. You know, it's a step-by-step thing. And I hope that people really understand that, though, because, like, you know, when I'm talking about, you know, my meditation, getting to know me, shoot, you know, that's been a 6-8 year process. You know, it's not, this was not overnight, you know, that I'm still.
This wasn't a New Year's resolution, Morgan, that you're day four of.
Yeah. I have been meditating for 4 days.
And I am amazing.
I'm the best I've ever been. Yeah. And it's that consistency, and it's the, you know, it's hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really hard to come to these terms of yourself and realizing, gosh, you know, I have done this, or I haven't done this, and, you know, hard truths of ourselves. And, but I, you know, really recommend that everybody go check out Sharp Women, and everybody go check out your website and your Instagram, the Diamond Arrow Group, just so many great resources, to get started, and your podcast.
Yes. That's something I feel bad. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about it, because we're having Morgan on our show. Our podcast just launched yesterday. So it is like a baby. It is a newborn. So I ask for everyone's grace on the first episode, because I was so dang excited to have the conversation with Doug Pattison, who is the Texas Spy Dad on Instagram. And we really have a great vibe. And I love having the male-female perspective. Highly respect Doug. And these can be tough conversations around assaults and rapes and domestic violence. So you got to have some trust. You've got to have a good relationship with a co-host to be able to go to some of those tough discussions with an open mind and with mutual respect.
Absolutely.
And we called it Thrive Unafraid. It's on iTunes and Spotify and Google and all the places that you can get podcasts. The whole point of the show is we want to have these conversations so that people can learn from them, so they can live life and thrive unafraid, that they can do whatever they want to do, that they can not feel stupid or have the safe space, I guess you could use that phrase, to question their beliefs. I'm going to be raw. Doug's going to be raw. Hey, this is the way I think. I'm not saying I'm right, but this is my perspective. This is how my opinion on this topic right now. Doug, what do you think? Okay, you know what? That's a really good point. He brought up a really great point in the podcast that released in a couple weeks that I'm still pondering, because I'm like, oh, dang, that was good. Ooh, I've never thought of that. And that's really uncomfortable. It makes me really uncomfortable to think about that. But he's got a point.
Right.
And so I need to meditate on it. I need to think about it. I need to process. And I don't need to come back with an answer anytime soon. But it's good. It's challenging me. And that's what we want to do, is challenge people's thinkings.
I love what you just said about stopping and thinking for a second. You know, it's not immediately having to come up with an answer. It's, I'm going to pause. I'm going to, like you said, meditate on it. I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to process it. And maybe I don't have an answer ever. Maybe I just needed to hear it. You know, maybe I just, it was the something that I needed to hear to do another action or something like that, you know, and like, it's just, that's the whole point of having, you know, the tough conversations. And it's hard, and it's, you know, just like any of the things that we've talked about today, I'm sure are really hard for a lot of people to even think about and come to terms with, and these kinds of things. And, you know, it's just taking that first step of maybe just think about it and stew on it for a while, and don't immediately come up with an answer. You don't always need an answer right away. And just, you know, come to terms.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love how you said that.
Yeah.
Because you're right. We don't have to have an instant response. We don't have to formulate our opinion as soon as someone asks us a question. Yeah. No one is an expert at everything. It is perfectly acceptable to say, I have no idea. I don't know. And you brought up a really good point. And now I get the opportunity to go back, think about it, do my research. And there's no deadline for a decision.
Yeah.
Because life is a journey, and you're always going to meet people. Or I hope, I shouldn't say you're always. I hope you always meet people who expand your perspectives, who yes. open your mind to new experiences and new thoughts and new traditions, new ways of thinking, mm-hmm. because that's some of the coolest stuff that you're ever going to do are things that 5 years ago you never would have thought of doing. Or even last year, you would have been like, nope, not doing that. I could never. And then now look, you're doing it. Now look, you're thinking that way. Look, you're having this experience. That yes. to me is the coolest part of life and why Diamond Arrow Group is named the Diamond Arrow Group. Courage moving forward, confidence moving forward, because life is way too short and it's way too awesome to spend it in a cocoon of fear.
Yes, 100%. And, and you know, having situational awareness and all these things, you know, self-defense, whatever, it's not living your life out of fear. It's realizing the reality of our situation, of our world, of our life, and having and getting the tools that you need, period,
right.
to overcome whatever may come our way, whether it does or doesn't, you know, whatever. These tools travel with us everywhere. It's not just you're getting these tools just so you can fight off a physical attacker. I mean, these tools translate to so many different things. So
like you said, with your meditating, it's impacted other areas of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. And I, you know, think that, like we've said before, we could probably go on and on and on, but
right?
I love always talking with you and seeing your content. You always inspire me and, you know, bring new light to subjects that, you know, is not really talked about that much in your perspective. You know, like you do bring a whole new perspective to things and I always love to see it. So I appreciate that and you being you. And I think everybody should go check out the Diamond Arrow Group. You could pretty much just Google you and you find you on Instagram and your podcast now and your website and your book, of course. Get all yes. of it.
Well, I appreciate the support and the respect and awe is mutual. Morgan, cannot wait to have you on our show because I am dying to ask you tons of questions about the journey that you've been on prepping. Ooh. and just getting into some of those, how do you start and why do you do this? I can't wait. It's going to be so exciting.
Well, I am very excited and I hope that everyone's already subscribed and ready right? everything they have to offer. And thank you so much for being on, everyone. All the links are going to be in the description. And yeah, thank you all so much for listening. Conquer tomorrow by preparing today. Thanks again so much for being on and everyone for listening. I'll talk to you later. Bye.